Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, welcome back for another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are going to kick off the show like we do every single week, and that's sharing one of you who's using our hashtag on Instagram, and it's STR Share Sunday. And what we do is every Sunday, we share your space visually, and then when we're on the podcast, we will share it with our YouTube viewers, of course, podcast listeners, and just get you some free exposure for doing such an amazing job and being such a great host in our industry. So Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Lucky Bend Lookout. Again, that's at Lucky Bend Lookout. And I have two very specific things that Sarah is crushing it on. Number one, she's been hosting since 2013, so I think she knows what she is doing here. When you go to her direct booking site on her Instagram... Two things just stuck out immediately. Number one, she has a chat capability where if you have a question, immediately her face pops up and it says, chat with Lucky Bend Lookout. She's like, howdy, do you have any questions? And I can put that right there and ask her. So it's accessibility there is so easy. The second thing that was like, this is awesome. And you guys go to her website and check it out. There is a pop-up. And it says, did you get your free gift yet? It's a free map with 20 of the best Sonoma County wineries for families. So she'll send you that map. And I know that Sarah and her family are actually bloggers in the Sonoma area, and they have a blog for families. And so this is a really great tie-in of her family's blog, her property, and giving value to the guest before they even come stay. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. I'm sold on this property. She's ready to chat with me right away. She's giving me ideas. And as you go through her site, I mean, it's her actual, like, I think it's her cell phone is on here several times, or there's a phone number to get a hold of her. So like, just immediately, I feel very comforted that Sarah puts her guests first, and I'm going to have a great
stay there.
I'm going to
be there for you.
Yeah. So well done at Lucky Bend Lookout. Please go check out their site, get some inspiration from it, and bring it to your direct booking site if you have one. All right, Sarah. Who do we have today?
This person who any of you have never heard of or met. No, it is Justin Ford, our good friend. He's international safety expert. He specifically specializes in keeping us, our guests, and our property super safe. Justin, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back with you guys. It's been a little bit since we've been able to talk.
And if you don't know, listeners, Justin is by far our, like, I mean, he's a regular on the show because quite honestly, we have never had anybody on the show twice. I think is this your fifth episode, Justin?
Wow, it could be. It's at least fourth, maybe fifth. Yeah, I think we'll go with five.
Okay, so listeners, go back if you haven't, if this is the first time you're hearing Justin Ford, we have so many other episodes with him. He is a best friend of Thanks for Visiting. And so we always bring him back because safety, you can never get enough of this. Like, you need to be, A, there's new technology coming out all the time. B, you just need to be reminded of it because this is not a set it and forget it. You know, it's not put the smoke detector in one time, put the CO detector in, put the fire extinguisher in, and never look at those things again. So we are here to remind you, but Sarah and I do not want to do this alone because we need Justin because he's on the prowl. He's on the internet looking for all the things. You're coming to us from where right now, Justin?
I'm out in Steamboat, Colorado, but I'm on the road. And I think since our last podcast, I've probably been in at least 20 states and probably have walked through at least 150 to 200 short-term rentals of all different types everywhere. And I just keep seeing things and seeing themes. It's we got some work to do still.
Well, okay. Let's do some work. So listeners, this is an episode. We don't just want you to listen to it. Please take some sort of action after this episode and send us an email, DM us, let us know what action you've taken because it is so important. So let's give some tips and tricks right now, Justin, of what you're seeing and what is still concerning you.
You know, it's interesting. 2 years ago, I got to speak with the trust and safety team at one of the largest OTAs. I'm not going to say who they are, but you can do the math real quick and figure out there's only a few of them. And they talk a lot about safety, and the OTAs do care, and they do want to do things they encourage. And if you sign on with Booking or Airbnb or Vrbo, any of those different OTAs that are out there, there's always the check boxes, and everybody knows what they are. Yeah, I've got a smoke alarm. I've got a first aid kit. But one of the things that they've just looked at internally is said, you know, we know there's all kinds of accident-prone items in short-term rentals, but we're still seeing that people don't have smoke alarms, and this is a real problem. And I was baffled by that. I was, in fact, baffled by numbers that we've seen out there that show that less than 70% of short-term rentals still have smoke alarms. And when I've been really diving into this mission now to figure out what we need to do to get to 100%, because if you don't have a smoke alarm in your short-term rental, nothing else matters. We don't want somebody to trip, but we don't want them to die first and foremost. And that's what the smoke alarm is all about. So I've really been focusing a lot this year on smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms closely behind that and making sure that we dive in and address this problem and get to 100%. No more excuses. This is where it needs to be.
What are the excuses you're hearing? Why are we getting a D plus in having smoke alarms in our—
Is it the age of the home?
That
would be like the number one thing. It's just an old
home layout. I think it's just a general lack of awareness of what their importance are. Okay. You know, I think a lot of people, you guys know this. This is my favorite quote. I live by it. I talk about it all the time. Three words: complacency is devastating. Most people have grown up in a house where mom or dad were responsible for the smoke alarms and whatever, and they don't know what they did. And I guess we're supposed to have one. Nobody ever is really, it's not part of home ec. It's not part of government class. It's not part of industrial arts. Nobody ever teaches you. You just go out in the world and you're supposed to figure it out. But it sounds boring, so I'm not going to do it. And I don't know. There it is at Home Depot. I guess we need one of those. I think people just don't understand how important they are. But I will tell you, every person I talk to that has had a fatality in their family regarding them, they all start foundations and GoFundMes, and we've got to change this. So people need to understand that the time to learn about them isn't when somebody has died that you know close to you.
So can we go into smoke alarms 101?
Let's get into it 101, because you need to know.
Yes.
Today, right now, here in North America, you got two options when it comes to smoke alarms. ionization or photoelectric. The U.S. Fire Administration, which is, you know, they report right up there to the top, right to President Biden. They're the ones that give guidance and overlook and say, hey, citizens, we're going to look out for the best for you. They have said that you should have an ionization and a photoelectric smoke alarm in all the appropriate spaces in your home. And that includes short-term rentals. And so it's really important you do have both. When you go into the box stores, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever, you're typically seeing smoke alarms that are either are photoelectric, and there's still a few ionization, but you're not seeing a lot of both.
No.
And so you need to understand what both means. Both means dual. The word D-U-A-L, dual smoke alarm detection. Those are smoke alarms that detect both photoelectric and ionization methods. One is slow smoldering fires. One is fast flashing fires. They both do one well, but neither is the perfect solution. If you have a slow smoldering fire in your rental because a guest left a cigarette beside the bed and you have an ionization detector, it's not going to detect it maybe for hours. If you have a photoelectric smoke alarm only, and there's a quick flash of a fire on the kitchen stove, it may not detect it. Mm. And now you've got a fire. So you got to have both and understand that. The other type that's out there, and I want people to stay away from them, stop going to them. They were a method. We've talked about this before in other podcasts. They were a method for marketing and they continue to be. And that's the combo alarm. That's the smoke alarm that has a CO detector in it.
Yeah.
That's the basic. That's bread without butter. That's just something that will get you by. And it's a gimmick. It's legal. It meets minimum standards. But it's not what you need to be protecting your guests with. So that's where it stands right now. You have choices. Ionization, photoelectric, dual, which is both, or combo, which I don't recommend.
Okay. And so then, and of course, if we have the dual and it just does, it's like that old saying, it's like, you know, if you're focusing on more than one thing, something is suffering, right? So that's kind of what you're saying, that like smoke alarms that don't have the CO component are just going to be really good at detecting smoke.
Exactly. And the next thing you need to look at is how good are these smoke alarms? And this is something else I've said before, but I just want to reiterate again, especially for new listeners. Smoke alarms are like cars. They're like bikes. They're like skis. They're every different price point, but they're every different level of quality. And you can get the most basic, inexpensive car, let's say made by Hyundai. Nothing wrong with it. Great car. But you're not going to pay as much for that as you are for a Porsche, which is a very luxurious, nice car. Smoke alarms are the same way, and Consumer Reports has highlighted that, and they've scored the smoke alarms that are out there. They've ranked Kitty and First Alert, both of their dual smoke alarm models, as the highest. They gave them a score of 92.
Okay.
But you take a look at an alarm like Nest, which I know a lot of hosts think, hey, that's convenient, and it talks to my Google Home, and it's all interconnected. That only scored 51. So convenience took away almost 41 points versus what the best smoke alarms that are out there. And those aren't, unlike cars, and there's a huge price difference, a dual smoke alarm is only $35.
And then you said something that whenever we are shopping for new smoke detectors, smoke alarms in for our short-term rentals, that I sometimes have trouble finding, which is the dual that is also interconnected. And can you explain to our listeners what interconnected means and why it's
important?
So
this is the next level, and I really want to talk a lot about interconnected today. Interconnected can be two different ways. It can be wireless or it can be hard connected. And pretty much any home built after around 1980, 82 is when they started doing interconnected. And that's that third red wire or yellow wire when you pull your smoke alarm down. There's a wire that goes all the way around the home that allows all the smoke alarms to talk. So if a smoke alarm's going off in the living room, it's going to tell all the other smoke alarms that, hey, there's a reason that you need to join my party here and make a lot of noise. And so that's what's really important about interconnected. Wirelessly, First Alert does it, and obviously Nest has it as well, where one starts sounding, it sends a wireless signal throughout the house. As long as it's close enough, it's going to send off that alarm and let people know that somewhere in this house, there's a reason for a smoke alarm to be going off.
What is the danger of them not being interconnected? What happens? Okay, so it's going off the basement, Justin. You can hear that from the bedrooms on the second floor, kind of.
So here's a tip, a free tip. Anytime you can get away with something for free, this is good. If you have an Android phone or a iPhone, which most people have one or the other, you can go in the App Store or the Google Store, and you can download a decibel meter. They're free. They're fun to actually kind of play around with, but you know, if you live near an airport, you want to really know, is the guest complaining about that jet noise? How really loud is it? But you can put these for free on your phones. And so when you take and use a decibel meter for free, that I think everybody here should download now, go into different parts of your house and listen to how loud the smoke alarm goes off, especially with the door closed. And we just did this test. I was down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we just did some testing at some short-term rentals there. And we set off a smoke alarm that was down in the kitchen area. It was more than 10 feet away from the kitchen stove, which is where it's supposed to be. And upstairs in the bedroom with the door closed in a house where the smoke alarms were not interconnected, we were getting the same decibel readings for that smoke alarm going off downstairs as if we were talking right now. What everyone here needs to know is a smoke alarm is required to put out at least 85 decibels in noise at the pillow. So if a smoke alarm is going off downstairs and upstairs in the vacation renter's bedroom or your bedroom, do this for yourself in your own home, your door is closed, you've just blocked sound. Now you're laying down, you're not going to hear that smoke alarm going off until it's too late. You do not want to, I've been a firefighter for 15 years. You do not want to wake up to the point where there's now so much smoke in your bedroom that you can't see. That's when bad things really happen.
So we talked about this a little bit before the episode. It was very eye-opening for me, Justin, because I think, okay, the smoke alarm has normally gone off twice in my life. It's when I try to cook and I burn something. And so I'm very aware and there's a lot of commotion and it seems really loud. Or B, I'm testing it. And when I'm testing it, I'm right underneath it. So it's to me, it's blaring. It's so loud. And the quickest thing you want to do is turn it off when you're testing it. You're like, okay, it works. Earlier, like you just like kind of blew my mind because I had to like flip the switch of like you said to the pillow. And you talked about some age groups and some demographics. Let's go through like how like it could almost be like basically no noise at all to these groups. And then let's go through those things and like really put yourself in that, like, you know, you are asleep in the middle of the night and this is going off. It's not as loud as standing underneath it, testing it. I've never like thought about how much, like I probably would sleep through it, honestly.
Yeah. And you know, if you watch any of the morning shows like the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever some of the other ones are, they've been touching on this topic every 6 to 8 months for the past 15, 20 years now. They'll have an expert come in and they talk about this, the most important one. And I can't believe we haven't solved this problem technology-wise. I think we've come close right now, but it is kids between the ages of 2 and 12 don't wake up to smoke alarms. They just don't. If you don't believe, I have a 12-year-old daughter. I tested it with her back in January. She didn't. In fact, the next morning she came down. I didn't say anything to her. I never woke her up. She came down. I said, did you hear anything at all last night? She said, no. What are you talking about, Dad? I mean, they don't. It's horrible. And so, you know, this is when they get into different products that they've tried where you can record the mother's voice and wake up. And maybe that will work. They've tried really bright flashing lights. They do that obviously for hearing impaired people. It kind of works, but it's still not the way. They even have products that will vibrate the pillow, but that might work for 2 nights. And after a year, you haven't had a fire. Why do you still want the vibrating thing under your pillow to wake you up? So we've got to pay real close attention because guess how many of our guests are between the ages of 2 and 12?
A lot.
It's around 30%. 30% of our guests are staying in our rentals and we don't really have it set up to wake them up in the event of a fire. So then we move up the ladder, up the age group ladder, and we get into people who are 21 to 100. We know from a lot of studies that have been done, there's a really big one that was done recently out of Montreal, big university up there. We know that in worldwide, in the past 10 years, over 70% of fire deaths where they've actually died in a home where there were smoke alarms, the people were later found to have been intoxicated. So when you were intoxicated or your blood alcohol level is higher, I mean, I don't party like I used to, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about.
When you've had
a few glasses of wine, you go out, you're a spring breaker staying in a rental. When you've gone out to dinner, you've been drinking at the beach all day, you're on vacation. No, I'm dead to the world. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And those are your renters too, because what most of the time, I mean, I know short-term rentals are used for corporate housing and we use them for business, but more so than not, people are there relaxing, having a good time, having a few drinks. And here's a group that we know if there's if they're drinking, they may be careless. Mm-hmm. They may not have turned off the gas fireplace. They may not have realized that the gas wasn't turned off on the kitchen stove. So, and that group's not going to wake up. And then thirdly, our elderly population. 30% of our renters are over the age of 60 and they don't wake up to smoke alarms. I mean, my grandmother, she's still alive. She just turned 100. Her hearing aids are on the side of her bed. My mom in her 70s, her hearing aids are on the side of the bed. They take them out at night. They can't hear a smoke alarm going off. So we got a lot of people in the house that aren't going to hear an alarm going off already. And that's if it's right next to them.
So what do we do?
Well, right now I've just finished doing some testing on something really, really cool. And I'm super excited. You guys see how excited I get sometimes when I find something and
it actually works. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because you don't endorse a lot of things. This is not sponsored or anything. Justin just really loves what he's found.
I'm excited. So Ring just came out with something here in the past year and we've done some testing on it. And I believe right now this is the best solution. Ring should pay you and me millions of dollars for this.
we'll just save a lot of lives.
We'll save some lives. We're going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But Ring has come out with a cool product and it's called a smoke alarm and CO alarm listener. And they're little hockey puck things. They're about $30. What's really nice about these, and there's no other product that does this completely, is it listens to the smoke alarm going off. And I know that there are different things and, you know, that help let you know if there's partying going on and they might tell you, but they just send you a text message. Ring has the ability to send this not only as a text message, but actually sound the alarms in the house that are supplementing the smoke alarms. And so what you do, let's just take a standard 3-bedroom house. Okay. So no garage, no basement, no attic. It's just a 3-bedroom standard short-term rental. You're going to probably have a smoke alarm in the kitchen area that's just off the kitchen, that's covering the kitchen living room area. You're going to have a smoke alarm in the hallway, and you're going to have smoke alarms in each of the 3 bedrooms. That's required by law in all 50 states. Okay, so that's your layout. But your home's down where you ladies are in Ohio. It was built in 1920, so they're not hardwired in, and you don't have wireless alarms. So how do we let these smoke alarms, how do we know there's a fire in the living room up in the bedroom? Because all our bedroom doors are closed. And in fact, that's what the fire department wants. They want you to sleep with your bedroom door closed. So you go buy 5 of these hockey pucks for $30 and you mount them next to each of the smoke alarms in the house. You buy the Ring base station, which you should have anyway, especially if you've got, you know, the Ring doorbell that you like to see the renters coming and going. And it has a great, you know, wireless router in there. And then you buy 5 sirens. Those are also $30. The sirens flash red and they sound over 85 decibels. Now, no matter what smoke alarm goes off in the rental property, you're setting off all the alarms in every single bedroom really, really loud. And this is allowing you to have the best smoke alarms, allowing you to have a dual smoke alarm. And we'll put this in writing, and I even have some video stuff that you can do links to if this is confusing, because I know it sounds like a lot, but this right now is what every rental in the United States should have, every single rental. If they're not on, you know, like a Brinks home alarm system or a sprinkled system,
sure,
that's going to set it all off.
Well, I will say, so we, you know, we manage properties for some owners and ourselves, and we inherit older layouts, ones that aren't interconnected. And obviously they're not expensive when you think about saving a life, but we understand that smoke alarms are an investment, especially when you have to do the whole home. And I can tell you right now, listeners and viewers, that these hockey pucks that Justin is talking about is a far more easier investment than getting all new, you know, smoke detectors, if that's something that you're concerned with. Because you're saying that this helps interconnect a system that... So like in Columbus, Ohio, we've got homes that are built and put together in 1898, you know what I mean? And they're beautiful and they're amazing, but they're just, yeah, they're not up to snuff when it comes to today's technology with getting you out of the house if there's an issue. So I love that.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, it's probably about a $750 investment to do the system that I just talked about in a three-bedroom home. But you're done for 10 years. You don't have to do anything else for 10 years. And I always like to take things as a percentage. $750 is two nights booking for a lot of people. So yeah, two nights worth of revenue over a 10-year period that your house is going to be doing things, you're putting in the best possible system so that nobody dies. And I know that's extreme and it's scary, but so nobody dies in your rental.
Right. And no matter what you do,
they're going to spend half their time asleep while they're there.
And right,
this is what you do to watch them. This is what you got to do to watch them, because they trust you. They trusted you the moment that they hit that book it button and decided to come stay with your house. They trust you that you're going to take care of them while they're staying in their home.
Well, Justin, can we talk about, so Justin does this, which, because he's Justin, the international safety expert, but he just texted us the other day, and you know, when he goes to a short-term rental that he's staying in, that he's just traveling himself, and he opened up the compartment of a smoke detector and there was no battery in it.
I mean, it's just...
No one else is going to do that though, Justin. Other guests aren't going, they don't think about that because they just assume that of course when I go to sleep, they don't even think about assuming. It's just this thing that they expect to be done. And there are so many hosts out there that aren't doing it.
I have a secret to tell you. This is bad. This is what I do. I mean, I stand on the top step of a stepladder and I'm a safety guy. I'm bad. I have the best smoke alarm off of my kitchen. It's properly placed in my own home. But sometimes when I'm using the air fryer function on my oven, smoke comes out and it sets off the detector. And what I do is I pull the detector down because I know it's going to go off and my wife's going to be upset upstairs going, what is going on down there? So I take it off. But I put a post-it note up to remind myself that it's put back up.
Right.
But now imagine your renters, and this is what's happening. The smoke alarms are too close to a bathroom and the renter leaves the bathroom door open and the steam sets it off. Husband comes running in, pulls the batteries out, and this isn't his house. This isn't his problem. He's not going to put them back in.
Right.
Or the renters have a cooking error. That's what they call them. They burn some food. And they pull the batteries out, and they just set them on the counter, and, you know, little nine-year-old walks in and goes, oh, I need some for my remote, and grabs them, and now they're never back in the smoke alarm
again. Or your cleaning team comes, they see batteries left, and like, oh, the guest must be theirs, throw them away, not think like, oh, it was to the smoke detector. I mean, that makes...
whose responsibility is though, Justin, at the end of the day, before that next guest checks in? Whose business is it?
It's the host. It's nobody else's.
That's right.
The host needs to have a program.
Yes.
And there's easy ways to document this stuff. It's the most important thing. I it's so frustrating sometimes. I want to scream, but I'm not going to. I just want to yell from the top. I'm going to go to the top of Steamboat Mountain today and scream, host, this is on you.
That's right.
It's on you to have a program, something in place. Who cares if there's a pillow out of alignment? Who cares if a picture's not quite? I know you ladies do.
We care.
We get it. Yeah.
But we care
who cares if a picture's slightly crooked? I know decor is important. But the bottom line is, a renter's not going to show up in the house and be worried about, you know, a pillow out of alignment if they die, mm-hmm. because nobody said, hey, wait a minute, the smoke alarm is the most important thing. That's what we need to check first and foremost, make sure they're all working. Every single rental.
It's not your cleaner's fault. It's no one else's fault, but yours.
And I probably shouldn't be. I think we talked about this on one of our episodes before, but we'll be honest with it, because we talked to somebody last night and they had this with one of their guests, like removing smoke detectors. Sarah and I stayed at a place. It was newer, and we got home from going out one night, and all the smoke detectors in the house were going off. Like, number one, we should have exited. We didn't. We called the host. But I'm going to tell you, guess what we did? We took every single one down because it was blaring loud, and we took them down, and we're like, oh my gosh, we like slept there that night, and like we shouldn't have done that. Looking back, it was like complete, I can't even like, so I'm just saying, like, we have safety episodes. Justin is one of our great friends. Like, if we're doing that stuff, you better believe your guest is burning bacon on day one. They pull down the smoke detector. It's never coming back up.
What we did actually was we called the maintenance. They told us to put it back up. What the troublesome thing was is we didn't test for CO. You know what I mean? Like, we just assumed, oh, it's fine, we'll just turn them off.
Yeah.
Like silence them. That's what we did. But still, right? Like,
we silenced them. We called the maintenance person. Like, you know, it was probably midnight. He's like, okay, yeah, just silence them. He didn't know if there could have been something like, oh. So I'm saying that and like, obviously want to like look in the mirror and go, are you stupid? But also, like, your guests are doing this same thing. They're on vacation. They don't want to be bothered by the smoke detector. So they might make these same errors that we've made, or, you know, yeah, like they pull the smoke detector down because they burnt something on day one and they never put it back up, you know, because maybe you don't have a stepladder, or they just don't want to, you know, like, well, I'm going to cook tomorrow. Is the same thing going to happen? And they take it down and put it in a drawer. So
what's something we can do with that, Justin? You know, I'm sure there's some smart smoke detectors out there. We don't, apparently the Nest is not rated great, but is there a way, like, do we put a little label on the smoke detector that says, like, please do not remove, or, you know, like, how can we, you know that they've done this and help them protect themselves?
You know, when I was a professional vacation rental manager and managed hundreds of homes, I instituted a program where we actually paid our house cleaners $10 if they found a smoke alarm that didn't have a battery in it. And I'm willing to bet maybe those $100 worth of money that I threw out there that somebody wasn't honest. But generally speaking, it was mind-blowing to me that we were spending, again, this was across hundreds of homes, that we were spending anywhere from $700 to $800 a year on that incentive program. That just tells you, A, how much that happens, but B, highlighted that the cleaners took attention and notice to it. And I think it's really important. I think it gives you an opportunity to document it too and do your own little data study and find out why people are taking it out. So if every week your house cleaner is reaching out to you because they're the ones that you've decided and developed a program with that this is how we're going to address smoke alarm batteries because I don't live near my rental, then reach out to the renter. Hey, our house cleaner noticed that there are new batteries in the smoke alarm. They were last week. What happened? I'm just curious. And if you're finding that for the last 3 weeks in a row, every renter is removing them because every time they cook in the microwave, it's putting out smoke. Well, now let's move the smoke alarm so that's not happening. It's obviously too close to the microwave. It needs to go into a different location. So there's some fun things to do with data there. But, you know, you touched on something that's really important there, Sarah. And there's one other thing that's kind of added on, and that's the CO. I heard you. You almost said CO2.
I know, I almost did, yeah. But I stopped myself.
It's funny, this property I checked into last night, there was no CO alarm in the house. And it's required by law. I'm in Colorado. Colorado's a state that instituted carbon monoxide alarms in vacation rentals because a family died in Aspen in 2008. If you're in California right now, the reason you are required to have a CO alarm in your rental and in your home is because of the family that died in Aspen in 2008. So I checked in here and there's no CO alarm. And the host's response back to me was, you know, we'll get a CO2 alarm right away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not, CO2 is what you put in your beer. So we've got it, embrace this stuff. You got to embrace smoke alarms and CO alarms. You can't be ignorant to these items anymore. I'm speaking to you, whoever's listening right now, you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care if anybody ever has told you it's not important. I don't care if you're the only one in your entire condo complex that goes out and puts the right smoke alarms in your condo. It's what you're supposed to do.
And I don't even want to, it shouldn't have to get to this point, but let's say something happens to a family in your rental, and then the family, the extended family, the survivors or the people who weren't there, I mean, who do you think they're going to come after in terms of a lawsuit? You know, you are in business. And so, and this is what Annette and I talk about. And yes, you know, we talk about you being in business. You should know your numbers. You should know if you can afford those fancy robes. You need to know what your pricing is going to, you need to forecast. You need to look at your historicals. But most importantly, you need to know how to protect those people that are, that is your responsibility. And if you just say you didn't know, the insurers aren't going to care. They're like, well, that was your job to know. Like, you need to find out what codes are and understand what it means to have a rental and have it, sell it as a product to get to travelers.
Grant, the wonderful 21-year-old who died in a Malibu vacation rental this past January or a year ago, last January, made big headlines. If you watch the timeline, you can Google this, just Google, you know, Malibu short-term rental fire in California. The timeline was he passed away within a week. There were articles highlighting the fact that the rental did not have smoke alarms. Then suddenly there's articles diving in and looking at the history of the host. Her dirty laundry was up everywhere. Then there was the whole news article that a GoFundMe page has been set up to raise money for Grant's family. And in September, the lawsuits were all filed. And right now, everything's scrambling. And people I talk to behind the doors in the industry are all talking about, you know, the litigation, everything that's going on this stuff. It's life. You took someone's life by not having that smoke alarm in there. And that's horrible enough as it is. But your life as the host is over, too, because this is now everything and you're going to lose everything.
Yeah. So I know it's a sobering episode, but it is so important. That's why we got to bring you in. We got to bring
it's
you in
easy.
Like, we got
to
drip
so
you in.
It's so easy to do. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get to that extreme and I know that there's like probably five listeners that just went, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not telling you to be done. There's risks and everything. When do you check? I mean, Sarah, are you going to check your air pressure in your tires before
she
you drive?
She has an appointment actually after this call because it's low.
Well, are you? There's risks. Life is full of risks.
That was so timely. She was like, I gotta go to the tire place.
Yes.
And that's why, like, oh man, I'm sitting here too, just like, oh my gosh, because I even learned something today. Like I now sleep with my bedroom door open, but ours closed, but I don't think I did that before. So even I'm like, oh, that's safer for me because the smoke could get in. That's like very interesting.
There's all kinds of back sheets out there now. Yeah. You can go on to the NFPA website or FEMA's website. They list all the, you know, grill safe. I mean, they give all this stuff out. It's free. You print them off. Mm-hmm. They're PDFs. You know, the rental I'm in right now has 2 pages of documentation on how I can take a bottle of wine and leave some money behind if I want to drink it. But it's like, that's great. You took all that time to do that. And maybe I want to have some wine, but there's nothing here telling me why there's this weird orange extension cord that goes into the wall. And what is that running? And what happens if I unplug it? So you got to put safety first. Safety first.
Yeah.
I think that's where we end.
And
right?
What we'll do too, listeners, is so like we said, Justin's been on several episodes of Thanks for Visiting. So in the show notes, we'll let you know what those episodes are.
So you can binge them.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'm sober now. So let's just get them all in there. Right. If you want a quick Justin Ford University, we'll get you all the quick links. Justin, thank you so much for the work that you do. I mean, just think it, listeners, if you felt like really heavy today, this is what Justin has dedicated, you know, his professional life too, is to understanding who's dying, why they're dying, and how we can prevent future people. That's what you do, Justin. That is tireless work. And sometimes it can be thankless, but we want to thank you for everything that you do for our industry and for travelers. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for giving me a voice out here. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
All right, listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.